Thank you for listening to Servants for Christ. In all that we do and all that we say, we want to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning us in as we get into the wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, let's take the beautiful Word of God and share it with each and every one of you as we have a sense of anticipation to take the Word of God and to listen to its truth for each and every one. My day job, and somebody asked me, Pastor, how did we get the Bible? And so I began to tell them, well, it may take a few minutes, but let me give you a rundown on what I believe how the Bible came about, because the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so, what am I saying? The Bible is inspired by God, along with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And so, the Bible is made up of 66 different books that were written over 1,600 years from approximately 1,500 B.C. to A.D. 100. You say, now, what's the difference? Well, we know that the B.C. stands before Christ and the A.D. stands for Anno Domini, is Latin, which means in the year of the Lord. And so B.C. starts the year before 1 A.D., and so it moves in reverse. There's no year of zero. So the year before 1 AD is 1 BC. And so in BC or BCE system, the larger the date is, the further back in time it is. But in AD or CE, the larger the date, the latter in time the event occurred. And so the systems of dating before B.C. or A.D. was adopted based on the significant events of political leaders and well-kept chronological orders in which they ruled. For example, the Romans generally described years based on who was the consul or by counting from the founding of the city of Rome. And so the Bible started when they came out of Egypt. God commanded in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, the month of Abib, the March, April, that would mark the beginning of their year. And so their new Levitical year began in the spring while they continued to start their secular year in the fall. And so basically, when did the years start being numbered was Dionysus, which was Dionysus, if I could say his last name correctly, Exiguus, was a monk in the early 6th century A.D. that invented the dating system that was used in the Western world. And so Dionysus and the birth of Christ represented year one, and he believed that this occurred 753 years after the foundation of Rome. And so that's how the dating system started. And so from 1500 BC to AD 100, by more than 40 kings, prophets, leaders, and followers of Jesus, the Old Testament has 39 books written approximately 1500 to 400 BC, and the New Testament has 27 books written approximately AD 45 to AD 100.
The Hebrew Bible has the same text as the English Bible's Old Testament, but it divides and arranges it differently. And so, the Old Testament was written mainly in Hebrew with some Arabic. The New Testament was written in Greek. Now, the Old Testament chapters in Daniel and Ezra, and a single verse in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11, and then one phrase in Genesis chapter 31, verse 47. Those were Arabic, but everything else in the Old Testament was Hebrew. Now, the Old Testament events were written down in Hebrew portions and Arabic over centuries. In Exodus, the Lord tells Moses to write in a book. And other Old Testament writers inspired by God include leaders, kings, and prophets. And these writings were on leather scrolls and other materials that were called Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. Now, Ezra, a priest and a scribe, he collects and he arranges some of the books of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, about 450 BC, according to the Jewish tradition. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament. It's translated in 250 to 100 BC by Jewish scholars in Alexandria, Egypt. The word Septuagint means 70, referring to the tradition that 70 or 72 men translated it, and it's often abbreviated with the Roman numerals for 70, which is LXX. Now, the books are arranged by subject, historical, poetic, and prophetic. It includes the apocryphal, meaning hidden, which is the Catholic Bible, and referring to seven books that were included in the Hebrew Bible until AD 90, when they were removed by the Jewish elders because they were not considered inspired by the Word of God. And so a papyrus was a plant that was cut into strips and it was pressed into sheets of writing material and can be made into a scroll or a codex. The New Testament books were probably first written on the papyrus scrolls. Later, Christians began to copy them on sheets of paper, but that comes on into the future. But basically, the Old Testament started out at 2000 BC to 200 BC, and then we go to AD 500. The Roman Empire declines. The German migrations of AD 378 to 600, they cause a new language to emerge. And the Masoretes were special Jewish scribes entrusted with the sacred task of making copies of the Hebrew scriptures. Old Testament, approximately AD 500 to 900, and they developed a meticulous system of counting the number of words in each book of the Bible to make sure that they'd copied it accurately. Any scroll found to have any error was buried according to Jewish law. And so, we see that the scrolls of leather and later on of papyrus were used to make copies of the scriptures, and a papyrus codex was a bound volume made from sheets folded, sewn together, sometimes with a cover, and they were used more than scrolls after AD 1 to AD 100. And so, later on, the fine quality animal skins from calves or antelope, and sheep or goats parchment were used for over 1,000 years to make copies of the Bible, approximately AD 300 to 1400. Two of the oldest copies, in AD 325 and AD 350 that exist today, are the Vatican Codex and the Sinaitic Codex. Now, later on, we see the printing presses that will come into effect. But basically, Christianity reaches Britain before AD 300, but Anglo-Saxon pagans drive Christian Britons into Wales in AD 450 to 600, and in AD 596, Augustine of Canterbury begins evangelization again. And then Cædemon, an illiterate monk, retells portions of scripture in an Anglo-Saxon Old English poetry and song in AD 676. And so, Aldahem of Sherborne in AD 709 is said to have translated the Psalms. And so, as we see that the papyrus plant, the time of Jesus in 4 BC to, I guess you'd say, 33 AD, Jesus quotes the Old Testament scriptures often, and he says that he did not come to destroy the scriptures, but to fulfill them. And he says to his disciples, "These are the words which I spake unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures," according to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and verse 45. And so, when we look and we begin to realize that of all the things of AD 100, the followers of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul, James, Peter, and Jude, they write the gospel history with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the revelation between AD 45 and 100, the writers quote from all but eight of the Old Testament books. And these writings in Greek, they are copied and they're circulated so that by about AD 150, there's a wide enough use of them to speak of the New Testament or the New Covenant. And the New Covenant God made with people was promised in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And it's referred to by Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, and Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, and in the letter to the Hebrews. And so, the Old Testament Apocrypha, which is the Catholic Bible, evidence derived from the first century AD writers of Philo and Josephus that indicates that the Hebrew canon did not include the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha. Earliest translations is AD 200 to 300 of Latin, Coptic in Egypt, in Syria as well. The church fathers, they accepted the writings of the Gospels and Paul's letters as canonized from a Greek word referring to the rule of the faith and truth. And the origin list is that 21 approved New Testament books, and Eusebius list is 22 accepted books. And so around AD 300, the New Testament books were collected and circulated throughout the Mediterranean about the time of Constantine and the Roman Emperor, who legalized Christianity in AD 313. And by AD 400, the standard of 27 New Testament books is accepted in the East and West, as confirmed by Athanasius and Jerome, Augustine, and three church councils. The 27 books of the New Testament were formally confirmed as canonized by the Synod of Carthage in AD 397 and recognized three centuries of use by followers of Christ. Jerome starts translating the scriptures into Latin in AD 410, and he finishes 25 years later, and the translation called the Latin Vulgate that remains the basic Bible for many centuries. The priest would chain the Bible to the pulpit. It was never allowed to leave out of the church. And so, the people could not speak Latin, so no one could really understand the Bible except for the priest. And so, as we look and we begin to realize that from that time frame, of AD 500, the Roman Empire, it declines. And like I said earlier, the German migrations at AD 378 to AD 600, they cause a new language to emerge. And the Masoretes are special Jewish scribes that were entrusted with the sacred task of making copies of the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, approximately AD 500 to 900. And they developed a meticulous system of counting the number of words in each book of the Bible to make sure that they'd copied it accurately. Any scroll found to have any error was buried according to Jewish law. And so, Christianity, as it reaches Britain before AD 300, but the Anglo-Saxon pagans drive Christian Britons into Wales in AD 450 to 600. And in AD 596, Augustine of Canterbury begins an evangelization again, starting to evangelize throughout the nation and country. And so, Cædemon, an illiterate monk, he retells portions of the scripture and the Anglo-Saxon Old English poetry and song in AD 676. And Aldheim of Sherborne, A.D. 709, is said to have translated the Psalms. Then Beatty, a monk and scholar, makes an Old English Anglo-Saxon translation of the portion of Scriptures on his deathbed in 735 A.D. He finishes translating the Book of John. Alfred the Great, the king of Wessex, 871 to 901, translates portions of Exodus, Psalms, and Acts. Aldred, Bishop of Durham, inserts a translation in the Northumbrian dialect between the lines of the Lidsfarne Gospels in 950 A.D. Alfric, 955 to 1020, translates portions of the Old Testament. Normans conquer England in 1066, and they make French the official language. No English translation were produced until the 1300s. Then the Middle English emerges, popularized by works such as the Canterbury Tales and Richard Rowell's Psalters of 1340. The first English Bible is translated from Latin in 1382 and is called the Wycliffe Bible in honor of priest and Oxford scholar John Wycliffe. And during his lifetime, Wycliffe had wanted common people to have the Bible. Remember, the Catholics kept it chained to the pulpit, and plus they didn't speak Latin. And so he criticized the number of church practices and policies he followed, according derisively a call to the Lollards, meaning the mumblers, including his criticisms in the preface of the Wycliffe Bible. And the Bible was banned and burned, and 40 years after Wycliffe's death, his bones were exhumed and burned for heresy. But in 1408, in England, it becomes illegal to translate or read the Bible in common English without permission of a bishop. The world's first printing press was movable metal type that's invented in 1455 in Germany by Johann Gutenberg. And this invention, perhaps the single most important event to influence the spread of the Bible. Man, I bet you didn't realize that there was this much detail about the Word of God. But the Gutenberg Bible, I went a while back and began to look at it when it was on exhibit in Alabama, in a little place over there, close to one of the monasteries. And the Gutenberg Bible was the first book ever printed. The Latin Vulgate version is often illuminated by artists who had hand-painted letters and ornaments on each of the beautiful pages that had been demonstrated. Erasmus, a priest and Greek scholar, publishes a new Greek edition and a more accurate Latin translation of the New Testament in 1516. His goal is that everyone be able to read the Bible, from the farmer in the field to the weaver at the loom. And so Erasmus' Greek text forms the basis of the Textus Receptus and is used later by Martin Luther, William Tyndale, and the King James translators. So Erasmus, as Martin Luther translates the New Testament into German in 1522, William Tyndale, a priest and an Oxford scholar, translates the New Testament from Greek in 1525, but cannot get approval to publish it in England. He moves to Germany and he prints Bibles, smuggling them into England in sacks of corn and flour. And then in 1535, he publishes part of the Old Testament translation from Hebrew. In 1536, Tyndale is strangled and burned at the stake. His final words are, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Tyndale is called the father of the English Bible because his translation forms the basis of the King James Version, and much of the style and the vocabulary that we know as biblical English is traceable to William Tyndale's work. And so, we look at how that we got the Bible, and we realize that the Coverdale Bible was translated by Miles Coverdale in 1535, dedicated to Anna Boleham, one of the King Henry the VIII's wives. And this is the first complete Bible to be printed in English. Then the Matthew Bible is translated by John Rogers under the pen name Thomas Matthew. It's the first Bible published with the king's permission in 1537 A.D. Printed just 1 year after Tyndale's death, its New Testament relies heavily on Tyndale's version, and even has a tribute to him on the last page of the Old Testament. Tyndale's initials are printed in 2.5-inch block letters. Later, Thomas Cromwell, advisor to King Henry VIII, enthrust Coverdale to revise Matthew's Bible to make the Great Bible. In 1538 A.D., the Great Bible is placed in every church by order of Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop under King Henry VIII. It's read aloud except during services and sermons. This Bible was chained to the church pillars to discourage theft. England's Queen Mary, which was one of the bloodiest queens of all time, bans Protestant translations of the English Bible, and John Rogers and Tom Cranmer are burned at the stake. Later, some 300 men, women, and children are also burned. The Geneva Bible, exiles from England flee to Geneva, Switzerland, and in 1560, print the Geneva Bible, a complete revision of the Great Bible with the Old Testament translated from Hebrew. Then, the Geneva Bible contains theological notes from Protestant scholars. John Calvin, Beza, Knox, and Winningham is the first Bible to use Roman type instead of a black letter. The Bible of Shakespeare and the one carried to America by the Pilgrims in 1620, the 1640 edition, is the first English Bible to omit the Apocrypha of the Catholic Bible. And so, Bishop's Bible was the next one. A new translation begins under Queen Elizabeth in 1568 A.D. It's translated by several bishops of the Church of England in answer to the Geneva Bible. Then Rheims' Douai Bible was translated in English from the Latin Vulgate by Catholic scholar Gregory Martin while in exile in France in A.D. 1582 and A.D. 1609. It becomes the standard translation for the Catholic Church. Then, the King James Version, or the Authorized Version, King James I of England commissions 54 scholars to undertake a new Bible translation over the next 6 years, six teams of scholars using the Bishop's Bible and Tyndale's Bible, as well as the available Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, complete the new version in 1611 A.D. The King James Version, also called the Authorized Version, even though King James never gave the finished version his royal approval, is revised several times. And the edition that is used today was the revised in A.D. 1769, and it's the most popular Bible for more than 300 years. It's the one that I favor. And so, we see that in A.D. 1800, older manuscripts discovered between 1629 and 1947, several of the earliest known copies of the Bible are found. The Codex Alexandrius, a copy of the New Testament from A.D. 400, perhaps the best copy of the Book of Revelation, is made available to Western scholars in 1629 A.D. The Codex Sinaiticus, the earliest complete copy of the New Testament, copied in A.D. 350, is found in St. Catherine's Monastery near Mount Sinai. The revised version in A.D. 1885. In 1870, scholars in England decide to revise the King James Version to reflect the findings from the manuscripts discovered the two previous centuries. Their goal was to use better Hebrew and Greek texts and to retranslate words based on new linguistic information about the ancient Hebrew. And so the Codex Vaticanus, the earliest and probably best copy known for the New Testament from A.D. 325, is released to scholars in 1889 by the Vatican Library. Then, around A.D. 1900, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in a cave in 1947 by a shepherd. Contained the oldest known copies of portraits of the Old Testament. These copies were made known in 100 B.C. and A.D. 100. In a Qumran cave near the Dead Sea, a scroll of Isaiah that is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls is the oldest complete manuscript of any book of the Bible copied around 100 B.C. And the copies of Isaiah discovered in the Qumran caves proved to be the remarkable, close to the standard Hebrew Bible, varying slightly in the spelling of some names. They give overwhelming confirmation of the reliability of the Masoretic copies that I spoke of earlier. And during the 1900s, more than 100 New Testament manuscripts are found in Egypt. And so, the Ugaritic Grammar, which is published in 1960, Ugaric is an ancient language similar to Hebrew, and it helps scholars understand Hebrew vocabulary and poetry. And so in AD 1900, the modern translations, the knowledge from newly discovered manuscripts has led to hundreds of new translations. In 1885, the English Revised Version, a British version of the King James Version, came out. In 1901, the American Standard Version, a revision of the King James Version in American English. And then in 1925, the Moffat Bible, a very popular modern language version, came out. 1931, the Smith Godspeed, an American translation, came out. 1952, the Revised Standard Version, a new one came out in 1971. And then 1958, the J.B. Phillips New Translation, Modern English, paraphrased, made for youth in 1958. The Amplified Bible uses word-for-word ASV with added words to communicate insights to original text in 1965. In 1966, the Jerusalem Bible came out, translated by the Catholic scholars in Jerusalem, and on up into 1985 of the New Jerusalem Bible. The 1970s of AD was the New English Bible, Timeless Modern English Revised, in 1989. In 1970, the New American Bible, the official version of the Catholic Church, was revised and later on in 1986. In 1971, the New American Standard Bible, the literal word-for-word translation that was updated in 1995. And then in 1971, the Living Bible, which was a popular paraphrase Bible. Later on in 1976, the Good News Bible, which is today's English version, is an English translation made even easier. 1978, a new international version that was created. And then in 1982, the New King James Version came out, the modernization of the King James using the same manuscripts. In 1987, the New Century Version came out that puts biblical concepts into natural terms. In 1989, the Jewish New Testament English translation using traditional Jewish expressions. In 1989, a new Revised Standard Version came out of a gender-neutral revision of the RSV. And then in 1991, the Contemporary English Version, the natural, uncomplicated English style. In 1995, God's Word was another one that came out. 1996, the New Living Translation of the Living Bible made to translation. In 1996, the New International Reader's Version, a simplified version of the NIV with a third and fourth grade reading level. And then in 2001, the English Standard Version, literal update of the RSV. And in 2001, today's New International Version, a modernization of the NIV. In 2002, the Message came out, the paraphrased from the original language. And then in 2004, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, balanced between word for word and thought for thought. Boy, if that isn't a lot of revisions, all the way from the original manuscripts of 1500 BC to 100 AD to the early Alexandria codexes, to the Codex of the Vaticus, to the Codex of the Sinaitis, from the Dead Sea Scrolls, of all the newly discovered manuscripts and ancient copies and ancient versions in Vulgate and Wycliffe and Tyndale and Coverdale and Matthews and the Great Bible and the Geneva and the Bishops and the Douay, the King James, the Revised, and the American Standard. What a thing of how we got the Bible. But I go back with how I started. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thank you, as we have tried to explain to our co-worker what and how that we came about with the Bible. Father, thank you for this time that you give us to go in and to simply talk about how that we got the Bible, knowing that we don't know anything. We're just learning every day. But I hope and pray, Lord, this will be a blessing to someone else that has the same question as my coworker had of how that we come to get the Bible. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.